We'll start there. It says in verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God has given us everything. Everything we need to live a godly life. He has given us a choice to participate in His precious promises, to be pulled out of darkness into His wonderful light. Tonight, we're going to focus on faith, knowledge, mutual affection, and love. And it's a lot to cover, but we got this, all right? I remember my freshman year in college taking 7 classes, which turned out to be like 16 credits. Shout out to Fashion Institute. I don't know why they do that or how they do that. But they do. Amen. Working as a hostess, bussing tables, part of a new campus ministry. I was 17, turning 18 in September, and everyone else in the ministry was 22, with cars, real jobs. You know, it felt like it was a whole new world. I was definitely overwhelmed, stressed, and I started to feel alone. I started to feel distant from God, didn't feel connected to God, was feeling faithless and hopeless. I was talking to a good friend of mine who I actually got to sit in some Bible studies with, and she had just become a Christian. So I'm spilling all my feelings to her and honestly probably thinking she's not going to say anything back to me. But she stops me in my mess and says, Hannah, have you been reading your Bible? I was silent and a bit shocked, and then I was embarrassed because I really wasn't in my Bible like I knew I should have been. Then I got a little defensive and was like, I've been super busy adjusting, not really, not in my Bible. So she turned her Bible to the scripture and it changed my life. Let's turn to Romans 10, 17.
Come on, Hannah.
Romans 10, 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word about Jesus. Where is this message and word about Jesus? The Bible. And whose voice are we listening to when we read the Bible? God's. Faith comes from God. Faith doesn't come from your parents. You don't get faith by just going to church. It doesn't come from the person preaching, your pastor, your friends. Faith doesn't come from people. It doesn't even come from you. It comes directly from God through His Word. I never forgot this moment in my walk with God because it was an epiphany for me. Something clicked, and it wasn't new information for me, which you might be thinking the same thing. But knowing and understanding something are two different things.
Yeah.
I used to say, "I know," a lot. And now I hear a lot of women saying, "I know, Hannah." And I think most of us know a lot. We know what's right, we know what's wrong, we know what to say, how to say it. But what knowledge means in the Bible is different than what you know for school.
Mm.
It's not the same thing as knowing material for a class. I don't know about you, but I used to study for exams, and once I took the test, all the info I studied for was gone afterwards. I don't know if you can relate, but that's how I got through most of my classes. But with God, it should be different. We can't rely on ourselves or what we know or what we heard. It's not like an exam. Knowledge is not just knowing information. It's an understanding. It's not even just reading your Bible. It's good to read your Bible, but it doesn't stop there. You have to read it, rely on it, and apply it. You have to allow God's Word to change you. There's this quote I read yesterday, and it said, "You can eat all the kale, buy all the things, lift all the weights, take all the trips, trash all that doesn't spark joy, wash your face, and hustle like mad, but if you don't rest your soul in Jesus, you will never find peace and purpose." That's what it means to have faith and knowledge. There's a clear difference in your life because of it.
Yeah.
When you read a scripture, you should rely on it. It should change you. You should think differently because of it. You should act differently and make decisions according to what God says in His Word. Knowledge is not just knowing information. Faith is more than just knowing something. What's faith? Belief? No. Faith is more than just believing. In James 2:19, it says, "You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and tremble in fear." It says even the demons believe in God. God doesn't want you to just believe. He wants you to have faith. He wants you to act in your faith. In James 2:14, it says, "What good is it, my sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead." God wants faithful women, not faithless women. God goes around the whole earth searching for women of faith. In Luke 7, Jesus was amazed at the faith of a centurion. He was amazed and turned to the crowd following him. He said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." In Mark 6, Jesus went to his hometown, and he was amazed at the people's lack of faith. Is Jesus amazed at your faith right now, or amazed at your lack of faith? What about when life gets busy? When you have work, school, family, friends, boyfriends, potential boyfriends, commuting, bills to pay, on and on, right? What gets pushed to the side? Spending time with God? Maybe fellowship? Not having enough time to teach someone about God in a Bible study? You don't have any time to share your faith? Well, yeah, of course, that's true. You cannot share something you don't have in the first place. Having and building your faith should be the most important part of your life. Hebrews 11:6 says, "It's impossible to please please God without faith. Luke 18:8 says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Would Jesus find faith in this room right now? I hope so. We have to be women of deep faith. Women that look like Jesus more and more every single day. Possessing these qualities in 1 Peter 1 or 2? In increasing measure. We need to possess these qualities. How is your scripture memory bank? I think too many times we're quoting people's thoughts, opinions about God. We're into reading more books about purity or love instead of looking up every scripture in the Bible about purity and love. Okay. Don't get me wrong, books are great. I've read and I still read now a lot of different spiritual books to help me and on different topics, but it never replaces God's word.
Yeah.
Books about God or godly things are still not the Bible.
Yeah.
Immerse yourself in scripture. Know where they are. Memorize them, rely on them, apply them. So when a temptation appears in front of you, you can say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Titus 2. When you're feeling down, you can say the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Romans 16. When you go through hardship, you can say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Philippians 4. Which actually, when I was giving birth, was repeating in my brain like the whole time. I just kept saying that to myself. And I didn't, so. So these scriptures and many more have gotten me through college and honestly get me even through now. What are your favorite scriptures? You know, I want you to turn to someone right next to you right now and share your favorite scripture. If you don't have one, that's okay. You can just listen to someone else's. No need to lie or make something up, all right? Just say, I don't have one yet, but you will. And for most of you, listen, ladies, listen. This isn't your quiet time or your sermon, okay? This is not something you've been working on. This is just a scripture that you read and you love, okay? So let's just say the scripture and read it to a sister next to you.
Oh.
First John 4, verse 7, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Knowing who God is leads you to love others. Love comes from God, like faith comes from God. God first created you, He chose you, and He loved you before you did anything. You didn't have to earn God's love. You didn't have to have a resume of why God should love you. You didn't need to prove anything to Him for Him to love you. He just does. It's who He is. So we need to love one another as women. Mutual affection and love in this scripture, in 1 Peter, is not about a romantic relationship. It's not about liking each other or dating or marriage. It's about wanting the best for each other and thinking about what would benefit your sister. In our world, relationships between women have a tendency to be catty, competitive, judgmental, always comparing to the other person next to you, and especially on social media.
Yeah.
Like even on Valentine's Day, we can be jealous of our best friend who may have a boyfriend. God has placed you, who had a boyfriend. Or we can be jealous of another ministry, wishing we were in that ministry instead of our own. God has placed you in the body exactly where you need to be. The reason that we are even here in the first place is because of God.
Yeah.
In John 13, 34, it says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." How we love and treat each other in this room will speak volumes to the world, to those around you, and of course to God, showing yourself to really be His disciple. Mutual affection means you have to actually care for one another. You know, this can be very easy to do for a guy you like. You spend hours texting, FaceTiming, talking, and getting to know him and being there for him. Hanging out with him, you know, it's not like it messes up your schedule or it's a burden. But yet when it comes to our friendships with each other, with other women, some of us are too busy. Too busy to pray with a sister on the phone, too busy to meet up and get to know a new sister, or even ask how they're really doing. Look around this room. How many women do you really know? And how many women really know you? And I'm not talking about on a surfacey level. We have to invest in our relationships with other women, because it directly reflects our relationship with God. God wants us to love each other deeply. And the best way to love someone is first, you have to actually get to know them. You know, you have to spend time with them. Make time for one another. Go to the movies, go thrifting, eat some food. Who doesn't love to eat, you know? Reach out to other women. Don't wait for someone to approach you or ask you. You be the one to go and get to know your sisters. In Proverbs 18:24, it says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a sister." Are you a reliable sister? Are you close to the women God has put around you? As sisters, we have to have each other's backs more than anyone else's, especially when you have the world and Satan trying to beat you down. What does 1 Corinthians 13 say about love? Love is patient. Love is kind. That's not happy. Yeah. It's not self-seeking. And love protects. Are we living out 1 Corinthians 13 for each other? You know, back to my freshman year in college where, you know, I was like years younger than everyone else, I felt like a baby compared to them. But I learned how to get to know the older women in my ministry. And even if it felt forced sometimes, but I knew that God put us together for a reason. So they taught me how to reach out, how to relate to someone, how to even be an adult. Then my sophomore year, everyone graduated into singles ministry, except for me and another girl that became a Christian. Not the same girl from the first story. But me and the sister, we had a rough time. She wasn't someone I would naturally be friends with. We didn't click. We actually butt heads all the time. Looking back now, I know that God put me in that relationship to teach me how to be a sister, how to be compassionate, forgiving, and loving towards her, no matter what she did or didn't do. She taught me how to be a real friend and how to learn and how to learn to meet people's needs when where they were at spiritually. It wasn't easy loving her, but there was a reason that God placed us together, and it was to help me to become more like Jesus, even though at the moment I thought it was for me to teach her how to be like Jesus. Looking back now, it was really for me. In Proverbs 27:9, who likes perfume over here? Anybody? No? It says in Proverbs 27:9, oil and perfume make the heart glad. So does the sweetness of a friend's counsel that comes from the heart. We need to speak to each other from our hearts. When you see something that isn't right, or if the Holy Spirit is nudging you to say something, you need to say it.
Yeah.
We need to encourage each other, to lift each other up, and help each other using God's word, not based on how we feel. I don't know about you, but I want to get to heaven, and I want to help as many women get there too. You have to care more about your friend making it to heaven than whether or not she will like you in the moment because of something you said. We have to look at what's more important. We have to be honest with each other, and of course, we need to be humble first. Jesus showed many people how to love, and he loved many. He loved his disciples. He loved the people that followed him around just to get food. He loved the Pharisees, the Gentiles, the Samaritan women, even the rich young ruler. Jesus loved in specific ways that were extensive and sacrificial. He gave what people needed in the moment. And he gave up his life because he loved you. In John 15, verse 12, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." We need to love the way Jesus did. No cap, a selfless love. Women, I want to encourage you and urge you to grow in these areas, to be faithful women that read the scriptures, rely on the scriptures, and apply the scriptures to our daily lives, knowing who God is deeply. And let us be women that show each other and those around us that we know God by the way we love one another. Let's call each other higher, hold each other tight, so we can hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Thank you.
Many times during this lesson, and I think this is a great chance to get together in groups and really talk about what we noticed the most in the lesson and how we can move on to make changes, and I'll pray for us, and then we can break up in groups. Okay. Hey, Dad. So I'm so grateful for this family, the fact that I get to fight for my relationship with you with all of these amazing girls. I pray that every single one of us heard exactly what you wanted us to hear today, and that we don't ignore it when we leave this room, that we all may decide to make at least one change in our lives. And even talk about those changes as they come, and tell each other like what we learned and how we can help each other move on and make it to heaven. I pray for the rest of the night that it's awesome, that we can fellowship with each other and the guys, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.